Hi guys, welcome back to another episode of Beyond the Filters podcast. I'm your co-host Lizzie.
And I'm Aaron.
We are so excited to be back after a bit of a break. Well, not even a little bit of a break. It's been such a long break. It's been a busy few months and we have so much to catch you guys all up on. So Aaron and I put together some notes of what's been going on the last couple of months. If you're curious about our summer adventures and recent travels, you're in for a treat.
And in this episode, we're going to be sharing all about attending a few weddings this summer, how we've officially started our own wedding planning, and some exciting updates on our house build. We'll also talk about Lizzie's return to therapy, which ties into a lot of the big changes we've been going through.
And we recently just spent a month out on the West Coast with my family. So we'll dive into some tips and tricks for traveling together as a couple, like how to handle disagreements on vacation, making the most of your time together, and even how to navigate being around your in-laws. Plus, we'll also share how Aaron handled meeting one of my exes during the trip. Start us off on the bachelor party.
For Zach's bachelor party, the first night we went downtown, we all had matching Hawaiian shirts, went to a comedy show, and then just went to some of the bars after that and had a hotel room. I will say, anyone who's looking to pick up girls or get a lot of attention going downtown, go out with a group and wear matching Hawaiian shirts. No joke, probably 100 different people came up to us throughout the night saying how awesome we looked in our shirts. And
not just girls, right? Like, you had other people, like just old ladies, guys of all ages,
men, women,
just trying to hit on you guys. It was
everyone wanted a piece of the action of our Hawaiian shirts. I mean, it helped that we were a good looking group of guys too, but
yeah, you guys are all so cute.
It was just, yeah, it was awesome. Like, I've never experienced, it felt like a celebrity. Like, it was crazy. Had that experience going downtown ever in my life. So highly recommend. Yeah, it was a big hit.
It was funny because where you got the idea was, like, you and I were out for a walk downtown. We saw a couple of guys wearing matching Hawaiian shirts. And I think I pointed out to you saying, oh, you guys should do that for, like, Zach's bachelor party. And you went on Amazon. You guys found all the cool shirts. You got a couple of the guys' opinions on it. And that first night when you guys came back home, literally the first thing you said to me, and this is you in a very, very drunken state because you guys had a huge night and some of the guys were staying in an apartment. You were like, Lizzie, I don't know, should I say this? do you know what I'm going to say?
I think
you're like, Lizzie, these are the biggest pussy magnets I have ever worn in my entire life. I just thought it was really funny because, like, all of you guys are in relationships, but it was just, you guys got a little bit of confidence that night.
Oh my god, well, it was it was actually insane. Anyway,
so that was a highlight.
So that was a big highlight. And then the next day we went golfing. We booked a pretty cool Airbnb with a cool view and it had a games room, and we ended up just kind of chilling up in the games room the whole night. So there's a little few issues with plumbing. There wasn't much water at the place. But anyway, outside of all that, it was I think it was an awesome bachelor party. I know Zach said he had a lot of fun. So
I think you did a great job. I mean, I will say you were so incredibly stressed leading up to it. Like, feel like you typically don't plan things like that, but you really cared a lot, like, about this whole weekend. And so even a few days leading up to it, one of our close friends was staying with us because he flew out to Halifax from, oh my god, Ontario. And like, even before all the guys came that first night, you were trying to set up this, like, cool little, like, here's everyone's t-shirts, like, take a shot, like, here's all your goodie bags and stuff that his wife now had prepared for all of us. But, like, you were so meticulous, you wanted everything in a particular way, and me and Shaw were just there like, oh my god, don't anger the monster, like, he's gonna, like, you were so, like, it was cute.
I was pretty stressed. I just if that bachelor party was going to go poorly, it wasn't going to be because of me, is all I know. Anyway, that was a bachelor party. Then fast forward to the week after was the wedding.
Yeah.
What to say about the wedding?
I mean, it was super fun. It's our second time going to a wedding together, so that in and of itself was special. But it was your childhood friend's wedding, and you were his best man.
So I was best man at the wedding. Wedding itself was in an awesome location. So they had, like, it's an Airbnb. They had it booked the night before, so we had kind of like a mini party with all the friends and family the night before. I won a bunch of games of, not washer toss, cornhole. Anyway, just had a lot of fun, had some drinks. Then the next day, the wedding.
It was raining.
It was pissing out, like, couldn't have been more rain going on at the wedding, so it was a bit of freaking out on what was gonna happen. But
it ended up being really cute. Like, everybody had an idea that it might rain, so there was cute clear umbrellas all prepared, so when you guys were taking all of your photos together, it turned out beautifully. But I know it's not what Megan initially had anticipated, but I thought it was beautiful. And yeah, it was so fun.
Yeah, it ended up like ideally probably would have been, you know, they probably would have preferred it to be sunny and nice weather, but
yeah.
I don't know, the rain kind of added a nice special touch, and the bride's father went out and got all a bunch of umbrellas for everyone, and I think there were, I don't know if there was an umbrella left in Cape Breton after that wedding, but
yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, anyway, the rain made the pictures turn out well, and then we went from the venue to the fire hall for the dinner. The speeches went well.
Oh my god.
Another thing I was super stressed about.
You were practicing that speech, the wedding, like you would just be gone, like randomly, like in the bathroom, and people are like, he's practicing his speech in the mirror. I'm like, of course he is.
And you know what? I nailed it.
Yeah, so. You nailed it. You didn't even get to finish your speech because it was that good, and people are just like clapping, and you're like, all right, I'm done.
Yeah, well, I was going to do a toast to the bride and groom, and I was like, everyone raise their glass, and then as soon as everyone raised their, and then I was going to say something special, but then everyone started clapping, and I was like, yep, you know what, good enough, that works for me, so.
Yeah, you did a good job. You had a lot of funny, like, punchlines in there, which made it really special, and I think it was a nice contrast to some of the other, like, bridal party members who had really sentimental ones, kind of, like, throwback shows their childhood, but then also ones that were really funny. One of the bridesmaids did a speech, and oh my god, it just sent me over the edge, and it was so cute and sweet, and I was just crying, and I love weddings so much, and I love being able to see Megan and Zach are like newer friends of mine, in the sense of, yes, I've known them for as long as I've known you, Aaron, but otherwise we probably would have never been as close. And so I was super thankful that I was able to be there, and actually really felt part of the wedding too, which is really special. You were, of course, in the party, and a lot of the guy friends that you had all grown up together with, but Megan's, I wasn't in Megan's bridal party, but she basically made sure that I was a part of everything, like with the wedding, and I totally understood because she had a ton of friends from her childhood that just made the most absolute sense to be in her party. But that's definitely one thing that I really appreciated, and something that I want to take on with like our wedding planning and stuff if I don't get to have certain people in the party. So I don't know, I wanted to bring that up because I feel like people don't talk about it enough, and sometimes people get hurt when they're not in these parties and stuff, and I don't know, it made my day really, really good, even though it was all about them. So
yeah, exactly. So speeches went great. There was an unexpected speech from
oh my god,
Zach's brother, which was awesome, like totally off the cuff, but it was,
nobody saw it coming,
it
like
was,
everyone was shocked.
Perfect. It was the absolute perfect speech, which, you know, those things can go one of two ways, and it went by far the best way it possibly could. Then we did some games, ate dinner, all that stuff. Then on the night portion,
we basically just, I know what you're gonna say.
So we danced the night away. Everyone there, especially the bridal party, myself included, love dancing. So they had a sick playlist. We vetted the playlist at like the Jack and Jill. So we knew all the songs were gonna be good. We knew when we were gonna play them well.
Most.
Yeah. So that was awesome. But part of what made the dancing portion even more awesome, and it sounds stupid looking back, but in the moment it was so fucking so fun.
What's a core memory for you guys?
Yeah. So I don't know who decided it, but at one point in the night,
somebody
decided that every hour, we said every hour, but it was really just whenever we were feeling like it, the guys would all unbutton one button off their shirt. So you'd go one button, one button. So looking back at the pictures, you can kind of tell how late it was into the night based
on how drunk you guys got.
Well, we all got really drunk, obviously, it's a wedding, but as we went through the night, you could tell that, like, what time it was based on how few buttons the guys had on their shirts.
You guys were getting sweatier, sloppier. Like, it was just, oh my God.
It was awesome. Like, as far as night dancing at a wedding goes, it was perfect.
Well, by the end of it, you guys were all no buttons. Almost some of you were, like, shirtless or fully had your capes up. Everybody's chest hair was hanging out. Like,
it was a melting pot of manliness, and it was awesome. So anyway, danced the whole night away, and then at the end we did some karaoke, and that was a lot of fun too, like to close off the night. I think we was it closing time
yeah
we
all you guys sang? All sang closing time, like up on the stage, and I don't know, for whatever reason I was like so dead and so tired from all the dancing, I was like, let me be the one content creator here and like record this video because it was so iconic. But yeah, you guys all went up and sang, and I don't know, it was just the perfect way to end the night. And I think they both had an amazing time. They also did not leave the dance floor at all. It was just, it was a blast.
Yeah, so it was an awesome wedding, and it was a great kind of way to kick off the summer, I would say.
Yeah, and then, I mean, near the end of the summer, we went to your cousin's wedding too. And just to speak on that, like, that in and of itself was like kind of a core memory for me, because there hasn't been a lot of instances, like maybe like five or six, where I've really been around like your bigger family, because you do have quite a large family. You've got like a total of like 9 aunts and uncles and a lot of kids and stuff. And some of your cousins I love so much. So I can't wait to move back to Cape Breton and spend more time with them. But I felt really special that I was able to be there and see all of your aunts and uncles that we don't get to see that often. And from a perspective of me, seeing them really interact with you and love you and respect you was, I don't know, just so beautiful and like made my heart warm.
Yeah, another, you know, there was fun dancing. It wasn't quite as sloppy as maybe Zach's wedding, but no, it was really fun. And I agree totally. Like, it was a lot of people that I used to see all the time growing up. But since like my grandfather has died, we don't really get together as much anymore. So it was good to see a lot of those people. And yeah, I don't know. It was really fun. Also a really fun wedding. So
yeah,
2 great weddings this summer. And yeah, many more to come.
Yeah. And so speaking of weddings, boom, 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 we have also started planning for our own wedding. I have lots of thoughts around this, but anything you want to talk about with our wedding process, Aaron, for our audience to hear?
Yeah. I don't know. Like, I like all of your ideas. And
what do you like?
Well,
this is my test to see what he's been picking up on and not.
Honestly, I don't really give a shit. I know it's going to be a destination wedding down south, which I think is just going to be fun and good vibes with all of our friends and family and stuff. But
yeah,
I think, how do I put this?
It's the tale's oldest time. Is that the right way to say it?
A tale's oldest time.
Every guy in a wedding planning scenario, all they really care about is the budget. They want to make sure that their bride isn't going crazy and spending too much money and this and that for our guests and for ourselves. And so,
yeah, well, we're with this in particular, it's just the fact that because it's a destination wedding, like,
we want to be mindful.
Yeah, I would like to be mindful of how much our guests are spending, but I don't know. Some of the places we're looking at right now are close to being in our range, so maybe we get a better deal at some point down the line. We'll see, but
I
have a number that I want to get it down to. Lizzie has a number that she wants to get it down to, and I'm sure we'll eventually meet somewhere in the middle. So
yeah,
if you are listening to this and you are one of our close friends, then
start saving. Well, I mean, the reason why we're talking about it so soon is A, we're not getting married this year or next year. We're kind of planning for the spring of 2026. So we do have time before the actual wedding comes. But because it is destination, a lot of the suggestions and tips that I've gotten is to send out the invite for even more than a year, like maybe 16 months or so, so that people can really plan their vacations, especially because if it's destination, typically people go for 5 days or 7 days. And so, yeah, just to help them plan it out. But I'm really excited. This wedding planning process has also been really easy. I'd like to say, besides picking the resort and having good food, I'm really not a bridezilla. I've spoken about it very openly of, I don't really care about doing the dress shopping thing. I can go online, go on Revolve, go to Anthropology and find one of their bridal dresses. Like, it's destination too, so I don't want to be hot. And I don't know, I kind of imagine you in like a light linen beige or white suit. We don't even have to wear shoes. Like, I have this whole vision for what I want our wedding to be, and I want it to be just casual and for everyone to just have a good time, and then of course be in our budget.
Yeah, I think, yeah, see, I'm of the mindset of like, if we get it in our budget, it's going to be a good time regardless. You're kind of like, but if we spend this little extra more, it'll be even that much better. I'm like, yeah, no. But anyway, still conversations that need to be have, but we're getting pretty close to.
Yeah, we just have to pick. I think there's like 3 or 4 resorts we're looking at, which there's so many options to choose from. And it does make it fairly easy because we're not going to have a really big wedding at all. It's going to be like a small to a medium size. Well, I don't know what they consider small, medium, large anymore, because back then when our parents were getting married, like, they had massive weddings. So
yeah, I have no idea, but we'll figure that out.
Yeah. And we'll make an episode about like the actual wedding planning process as we get closer to our deep thoughts. But I'm really excited to have a small intimate wedding. But yeah, anyways, what else about wedding planning? I think that's it, really. Not that much to it, but it has started, and I'm really happy that we took the year to not do anything wedding related. Like, how do you feel about that?
I mean, you're doing most of the work anyway, so I don't really care. My opinion is, get it in the budget, and again, I'll make whatever work.
Yeah. I'm more so asking, like, are you happy that from the time we got engaged till now, we waited a full year before we even started talking about wedding planning or like starting to meet with people about it? Or
only because of money issues.
Yeah, that's fair.
But
which leads into like our next topic is, we have so many new house updates. which is very exciting.
Yeah, a lot going on with the house. So
yeah,
I don't remember what the last thing we talked about was, but
I don't even know. Maybe when they were like just about to do our driveway.
Yeah, we were probably right about, I don't even know if we were there. We were probably just like talking about they were going to do it, but now we have a full driveway.
Yep.
We have the pad laid down for our
modular home to go on.
Modular home. We have a well dug as of last week.
And oh my God, that was so stressful. Can we just talk about that for a second? Like, me being a city girl, I didn't know all the logistics and details that goes into putting a house down on a random like piece of land when you're not within the city limits. And so all of these things we've had to learn a lot. And we had a bit of a scare last week of thinking we were literally not going to have any water for our house.
Yeah, so I guess I'll give the bit of the story. So obviously, like Lizzie said, we're not in the super country, but we're definitely in the country. So we don't have like sewer or water lines, all that stuff. So we have to do everything ourselves. So that's why we have a septic. Oh, that was another thing. Septic is fully done. That was a big thing.
And that one was pretty easy. Like there was no issues, really problems with that. So that's all done.
Yeah. So anyway, they came to dig the well. We were quoted at about 185 feet. Like that's kind of standard for our area. You know, they pull all the well tests, all this stuff, whatever. So the first day they dig to 160 feet.
Yeah.
So they get to 160 feet and there's nothing. There's a trickle of very shitty, grainy water.
Well, and at the top it was all like clay and dirt and all these things. Like your mom was sending us photos and I was like, oh my God, what is this? And I don't know anything. So it just looked bad.
Yeah. And it looked like a puddle of silt. And so like my parents were there and they were like, my dad was giving me updates, talking to the guy, and he was like, yeah. And then anyway, at the end of the day, they still didn't find a good source of water. So this obviously raises concerns because A, if there's no water on the property, then we're kind of shit out of luck. Like,
yeah. And a while ago we had a person who, is it called dowsing? They're also known as like a water witch. Like,
yeah, you could call it water witch. I believe the technical term is dowsing. A lot of people don't believe in it, and well companies will say that it's, you know, fooey magic, but
it works.
It works. Like this guy, I get to guess a bit of backstory. He's like a family friend. So he's in his 50s. When he was 13 or something, his two older brothers from high school did this in science class. They took a coat hanger, cut it in half, put them at 90 degree angles, and you kind of walk, and if you point them straight, and if you walk over a water line or like an aquifer or something, they'll start crossing. So
you can find water like beneath you that way.
Yeah. So he was like, whatever, like forgot about it. And then like 20 years later, somebody knew he was digging a well and like they couldn't find water. And he was like, you know what? My brothers came home from school one day and taught me this trick. So let's see. And he did it and he was able to find water. And so since then he's found it for my cousins. He's found it for,
oh my God. Yeah. So many people. And we've heard stories.
So many people. And he doesn't take money for it because it's not,
he doesn't believe that he should take money for it.
It's not a science. And so he's like, he doesn't know if you're going to get water. So anyway, we did this. Put a stake in the ground to where he found water.
And this was early this year. Like this was before all the grass started growing.
Yeah, this was like March. So I took pictures of
reference points
and where the stake was. Fast forward a few months, this, where we're building our house is a hay field. So there was 5 feet of grass. The stake got not, we couldn't even find the stake. All the trees looked different because they had leaves on it. So we're like, shit, we got to find.
Like none of our reference points were working anymore. Like there was this one big birch tree that was white that we were referencing that looked totally different months after. And like you and I were out there at least like two or three times walking and stepping on every square foot of this hay field trying to find it. I was ruining my leggings because they were getting all ripped up and shit. And I didn't even care because I was so stressed about it. And essentially we lost the stake. So we were like, shit, what do we do? And so, like, earlier that year, I was, like, we were all trying to test it out and see if we could be, like, dowsers or water witches. And I did a pretty good job. I had my eyes closed. I was able to, like, spot the exact location where the guy who came out to do it for us. So I felt pretty confident. So anyways, we lost it. Aaron got a coat hanger from your parents' house. You cut it up. We did the same setup, made it 90 degrees. I went out and yeah, we put the stake on where they crossed and we were just hoping and praying to God it was close to what it was before. If not, we were fucked and then we weren't going to have water. So
yeah, so the properties around us have notoriously bad water.
Yeah.
We were unsure if we were going to have any water at all, let alone good or bad water. So anyway, the first day they dig, they go 106 feet down, nothing. Like shit can't be used. This brings up the problems of, okay, we might have to switch, dig another spot. Well, it's like basically $60 a foot for every foot you go down. So if we had to drill a whole new hole, like,
I would have cried.
We're talking like thousands of dollars for this to figure out a place that might not even have water.
And you may ask, why do we do the well after the driveway, the gravel pad, the septic? I don't know. I literally don't know why we waited to the very last minute to do this last most important part.
We believe in magic.
We believe in magic, I guess. That's something.
But anyway.
We're so lucky.
So my dad calls me. He's like, yeah, you know, if you don't get that much water, like, you know, we can make something work. Like, we'll figure something out. Like, you can get tanks, or we can, like, you can tap into someone else's line. And I was like, you know what? Yeah, okay. So I was stressing out a bit. Lizzie called the lady at the, like, lady that works at the well company. And she was like, yeah, don't worry. Like, there's a place that's kind of like parallel to you that had to dig 400 feet, but they have tons and tons, like more water than anyone would ever need. So, like, you're probably fine. So we're like, okay, we'll wait one more day, see what happens.
Well, I just want to say that on the first day, I think you were having a busy day at work, and then this was going on. Like, we got this news, and you were, like, ultra stressed. So, like, when we first got the text from your mom, I was like, Aaron, let me call the welling company. The lady there, Amber, you are amazing. Bless you in answering all of my questions. But I called her just to get her gauge, and Aaron was like, I don't want to be in the room when you call her. Don't call her in front of me. I don't want to hear it. I'm already stressed out. I don't want to hear about it until tomorrow. And I was like, okay. And we were coming back from somewhere. So I was like, Aaron, drop me off here. It was like right outside our apartment. I was like, I'm just going to call her. And then I came back in, and it was like, she was like, yeah, literally don't worry about it yet. You guys were estimated for 185. If they don't find it, they'll put another rod down, which is another like 30 feet. And they kept doing that. And yeah, you can explain on like when they went down further the next day, they had a little bit of water.
So the next day for reference, an average household uses about
4,
like can get away with comfortably 4 gallons per minute of water. My parents get about like 1.5 gallons per minute of water. And like, that's, you know, kind of typical for the area surrounding area. And my parents have like super gritty, like,
yeah,
has to be super water softened water. Like, it's super hard water. Anyway,
and when we come over and like your sister's also over, we have to space out our showers, our dishwashing cycle, our washing. So, like, it's a whole ordeal.
Yeah.
And, like, this whole time I'm thinking to myself, like, I don't want that. Like, I want kids. I want this house. I want a nice garden. We need my whole thing was I need a sprinkler system, okay? This is, like, way down the line. But I'm like, I need to install sprinkler systems in our lawn. And Aaron knew that this was something I was very stressed about, was having enough water, because I didn't want to plan around it. So then they went a little bit further.
Yeah. So it must have been 170 feet. So, or 75, 65. Anyway, let's say they're at 160 feet. They go down another length. They get down to this length. They get 5 gallons per minute.
Which is good.
Which is good enough, but it's like grainy. It's like pretty silty. Like,
It's called manganese, which is really common in that area, which is like a little bit of like dark buildup that can happen in the well. So
they go down there, and the guy's like, you know what? This is, you know, like, this will, you can survive off this, but usually when we get kind of water like this, if you go down one more length, you know, you might run into more water. So this is 5 gallons per minute. So he goes down one more length, and then boom, he hits the mother load of water, 25 gallons per minute, clear as day. The water, the guy drank it straight up like that day, no filters, no nothing. He's like, yeah, it doesn't even really have a like sulfuric taste. Like, this is really good water. Like, you guys, like, really lucked out.
Yeah.
Anyway, that was huge victory. We were friggin' pumped.
Yeah,
I was
pumped. I'm so excited. And you came to me. You were like, Lizzie, you're going to get your sprinkler system.
Yeah. Showers for days. And then, Lizzie was on the phone with the girl. And she was like,
yeah,
if you have people in your family that like to take eternal showers, well, you don't have to worry about that. So.
And she was like talking about her 16-year-old son who after drinks, he like will take these eternal showers. And I was like, what's an eternal shower? Anyways, but yeah. And you love taking those showers. So I was like, this is amazing. This is great. And so we have really great yield within our pump for our water. So anyways, the well stuff is all done now. We just have to get everything else like hooked up and whatever when the house is actually there next year. But yeah, in terms of all the groundwork with our house, it's all done besides the house.
There's one more thing. Yeah. You have to get power poles put in.
But
so,
that's easy.
Fun fact, Nova Scotia Power doesn't own all of the power poles in the province. Some of them are owned by Bell and probably all just Bell. But anyway, the ones on our road are owned by Bell. So we were like, shit, like all the research we did was for people getting power from Nova Scotia Power. But anyway, Bell essentially, if we use Bell Internet, they put the polls in for free. So that's not necessarily done yet, but all of the groundwork is done so that they can just come and do that.
Do you think that they'll do that this year?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, so once we get our power pool set up, I think that's it. In a couple of weeks, we're going to get our final house plans. Like, we've had the house plans before, but not to detail of, like, all the changes and upgrades that we made. Once we have that, then we'll get a civic address. And then, I don't know, at the end of this year, we'll be doing a lot of shopping for lighting, appliances, kind of those basic things that we, like, need, like faucets and stuff like that, because we wanted to pick our own. And then we move. But I don't know. I don't know what it is, but it was like the well was the most stressful thing that was looming over my head and yours. So I'm just so glad that we have more than enough water than we'll probably ever need. And you were saying like, oh yeah, like our little kids can go out and play with the hose and the sprinklers, like no problem. So yeah.
Yeah, no, it was a big win. Takes a lot of the stress because, you know, we would have found a way to live, but you wouldn't have been too happy, I don't think, with only like 2 gallons of water.
No, something. I know. I just think it also would have been difficult if we had to dig a new well or if it just wasn't going to work out at all, because we had already invested so much money into this land. Not even just like what was actually done on it physically, but the paperwork and the time and effort that went into it. It would have been pretty soul crushing if it didn't end up working out. But yeah, I think a lot of that eased my nerves and anxieties around our move, which also goes into like I went back to therapy in the sense of I did 2 sessions and the last one I did was like a month ago. That kind of shows how long we haven't podcasted in a while. But yeah, this was all before the well and the septic and the driveway being done. And I think I've talked about it before, but I've definitely had some anxieties and like nervousness around moving because I mean, it's definitely a bigger deal for me than it is for you moving back because you're moving back home. I'm moving to somewhere new. And so, like, I love our therapist, Nikita. I say our because, I mean, we've done couples counseling a few times with her. She's technically my therapist. But yeah, I kind of went back because I didn't want to burden you with, like, all my anxious thoughts and things about our move.
Yeah, I'm all for you going to therapy if you need it. I mean, I guess it is kind of a big change because I'm doing a full career change, but I don't know. I'll deal with it. It's whatever.
Yeah.
So what did you talk about in your therapy session with Nikita specifically about the move?
I think the first thing was, well, a lot of it was like mainly positive. Like I was very excited for the idea of like you going back into doing something that you're really passionate and excited about. But then the other half was like, even though I'm excited about so many things of being a, like kind of like a, what kind of wife is it? Wag wife or stag wife or like the ballerina farms type of wife? Like basically a wife at home.
A trad wife?
Oh, yes. A trad.
Stag wife.
No. A wag wife is like Charles Leclerc's, like his girlfriend would be like a wag girl. Or like if you're like Paige Lorenz and you're like dating, like she's dating Tommy who plays tennis, you're like a wag girlfriend. Anyways, whatever.
You're asking the wrong person.
Anyways, so a lot of those things I'm very excited about to like cook, be more in tune with nature, like start raising kids and stuff, because that's also a really big priority for us like when we move. I'm just anxious that like it's gonna be different for me, and I just get worried that if we move, too much change is gonna make me feel out of control, and I'm very type A, and even with our apartment, if I feel out of control, the first thing I'll do is like do an intense clean, rearrange everything in our apartment so that I feel in control of things. So that was kind of mainly what I talked about, but she definitely helped ease the nerves and just letting me know that I have a great partner, and as long as you and I are strong together and our house and our foundation's good, then nothing else will really matter and you can handle it together, especially if you're like on the same page as me, which I think you are about our move. And you know,
I would hope so. Yeah.
Yeah, but I feel like you're also good, like you made a comment to me a while ago which really helped me, saying like, you know, my main priority when I move is you and the farm. Like, of course, getting back into the farm, like being a boss and stuff, but also making sure you're okay. And I told that to Nikita. She's like, see, you don't have to worry about anything. The fact that he just even says that is like a huge thing. And so if something does come up, like talk about it together. But yeah, I feel like I'm a little nervous that everybody's gonna want a piece of us when we move, which we don't have a lot of pieces to give. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, well, hey, we'll figure it out. It's it's hard to, you can make all the plans in the world and then shit's going to come up that you didn't plan for. So
yeah,
I don't know. I don't think we should be too stressed until we're there. I think you're going to, I don't know if it's going to necessarily be easy, but I don't think it's going to be hard for you to adjust. It's not like we're, you know, moving across the country or moving to a different country or to a completely different place, like, or an unknown place. Like, you've been there, you kind of have an idea of what it's like. So
yeah, it, you know, we're just like so comfortable in our like daily, weekly routine, and obviously that's going to look a little bit different, but I think for the better, and hopefully for the better. And as long as I feel like we just need to prioritize like date nights, time together, and then also like individual time that will make us feel both like comfortable and confident in like ourselves and making other relationships with people and stuff too.
I couldn't agree more.
Okay, so I don't know, there's that. I have not gone back to therapy because those sessions were really good for me, and I honestly did not feel like I needed to talk about it more because I felt very much at ease with the advice that I got from Nikita and then also what Aaron told me. And
I think that's it for the summer, right?
Yeah, pretty much. Well, we spent 3 weeks out in the West Coast this September, which was, honestly, I think we both can agree it was the best trip we've ever had out West in the 6 years or 7 years we've been together.
I fully agree.
And so the purpose of us going, my family, my immediate family, they all live in Calgary, and it's always been a priority for us to go and see and visit them just due to the fact that I don't get to see them very often. So we really wanted to make most of like the time we could. So we went out there for 3 weeks. And how did you feel about our 3 weeks there?
Yeah, it was good. I mean, so we got there and then we spent one full day with your family, like just hanging out with family, because, well, basically every time we've gone, your father's like, oh, one of these days you got to make the road trip from here to Vancouver. Like, it's crazy. You drive through the mountains. It's beautiful. So you got to go. So we were like, okay, that's what we're going to do. We're going to spend a week. We're going to drive to Vancouver, see what it's like, and do it. And we did it.
Yeah, it was so awesome. And so the first day we left, it was raining for the first like 2 hours of our drive. And at that point, like, I wasn't even nervous or scared. I was still so excited because it had been almost a decade since I last did the drive. And you were like an amazing driver. And I will say I was a complete passenger princess. I did not drive a second in that car. Also, I don't think I would trust myself to drive my parents' vehicles ever because I've already crashed them before. And so I just have a little bit of trauma with that.
Yeah, I don't know if your parents trust you to drive their vehicles either.
Yeah, they definitely trust you over me for a lot of things, not just cars. But the first night we stopped in Kamloops. And can we just talk about our hotel, please? Can you please explain to our audience the things I had to go through?
Yeah, I forgot Lizzie's a bit of a bougie princess or grew up like that. So she's never stayed in a motel before, I guess.
I have. Not a motel like that. Okay. Oh, maybe not a motel. I don't know what they're called.
We just stayed at a motel with a very nice view, and it was a little dingy, admittedly. But, I mean, we were only there for, like...
a night?
Like, we got there at 6 p.m. or something and left at 7:30 in the next morning, so...
Yeah, the view was the only thing I will give that motel. But when we were booking it, like... No, I know, Aaron. Like, you're going to want to pick the cheapest place to stay at. And, like, looking at the reviews, it seemed fine, but it did not look like a place I wanted to stay. So you convinced me to be like, come on, Lizzie. Like, I used to stay at motels with my family. Like, they have a continental free breakfast. Like, we got to stay there. Like, do it
for me. That was redundant. Continental is free.
Oh, is it? Oh, I don't know. See, maybe I've never stayed at a motel.
Yeah.
I don't know what exactly. That means.
Continental breakfast is like... I feel like most of our listeners know what that is. It's a like a hotel breakfast where it's like a buffet. They have like fucking shitty sausages and
but
like
they're not all free.
Fake eggs and
fake sausages. Like
if you stayed at like a Holiday Inn or a Best Western or something, you've probably gone to
it. Yeah, like a Circle 9 I've stayed at before.
Circle 8?
Oh, yeah.
Or Motel 8?
Yeah, one of those. Anyways. Circle 9. So I was like, fine, Aaron. Whatever, we'll go stay there. So we got there. The views are really cute. And... I don't know. I just really did not like it because it smelled like it reeked of cigarettes. Even though there was no smoking signs anywhere, it probably was a place that at one point was like you could smoke inside, outside, anywhere on the bed.
Yeah, based on the age of the no smoking signs, this place probably had people smoking in it until like 2005. And yeah, that stuff does not leave the room. But anyway,
I was nervous, and like Kamloops is like kind of known for like car robberies and things like that, and we like had my parents' really nice car, like not to be weird about it, but like I was also nervous of like, oh my god, is someone gonna break into my parents' car? Are we gonna have to deal with that? Like, I don't know what things are like around here in BC.
Basically, Lizzie's a pussy, she's bougie, We stayed in a shitty motel.
I was so nervous.
And it was fine. And it made the rest of our trip, it made the where we were staying the rest of the time seem that all that much better.
Yeah. So I woke up the next morning. Well, I woke up in the middle of the night. I was like, oh my God, like, are there bed bugs here? I was like, am I itching? Like, making shit up in my mind. Woke up really early, and I've never gone up out of bed so quick. I'm like, Aaron, let's go. I want to leave right now. And you're just laughing. And then we went to have the continental breakfast, and it was so bad.
Yeah, we should have just went and got Tim's.
It was terrible. And like, I was going to look at Aaron and complain about something, because I've been complaining at this point for like quite a bit. And he just looks at me. He goes, Lizzie, I don't want to hear it right now. Just not like, wait till we leave here. I'm like, okay. And then when we got in the car, I complained to you about it. And then we got to BC or to Vancouver.
Yeah, I feel like you're missing a big part of this, is that it's literally one of the coolest drives in the world. Like,
oh,
you're
driving
through the Rocky Mountains, and then like getting to Kamloops, you go through like Shuswap Lake and stuff like that, and it's just all super freaking cool. Anyway, then from Kamloops to Vancouver, you drive through the Coquihalla, which if you, I don't know, we're a Discovery Channel what's the boy version of a girly?
A nerd? I don't know.
Anyway, if you were a Discovery Channel guy and ever watched Highway Through Hell, like, it's that highway. So I was super pumped to get to drive on that. And also, it's just like really cool views. And we saw a turned over semi-truck.
I know, but everybody looked okay, like, from that accident. Like, yeah,
everyone was definitely fine. But like, we must have been like just behind it, because it was before any of the cops or ambulances and stuff got there.
Yeah. And when I was young, I didn't appreciate the drive as much. And so, you know, doing it with Aaron, and I love traveling with him, he's like my favorite travel buddy ever. And so, because I knew that you were really excited for the drive, it made me really excited for the drive. And I was obsessed with the views. It was gorgeous. And yeah, we made a lot of good playlists together. We listened to a couple of podcasts. You picked one, I picked one. Overall,
we never got to listen to my podcast.
Yes, we did. We listened to the one with Joe Rogan and the guy who invented PayPal with Elon Musk. See, I know, okay, he talked about a lot of cool shit, and I actually like that podcast, because we picked it up again on the way back.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Anyways, and then we got to Vancouver. Our Vancouver trip was really good.
Yeah, I enjoyed Vancouver. I
don't like East Hastings.
Yeah, I've never been to a city. Mind you, I haven't been to many cities as an adult since like fentanyl and all that stuff's been a thing, but I've never seen so many people openly doing crack and fentanyl just out in the open. Like, it's everywhere, like bus stops, that's literally just right in front of you. Like, at least the ones in Halifax kind of go into back alleys and do stuff like that.
Yeah,
it was literally right in the middle of the street, didn't give a fuck.
I mean, it was so heartbreaking to see. Like, I remember as a kid, my dad was very much talking about East Hastings and the people and kind of the struggles they go through, whether it's like not due to their own fault or maybe due to it, mental health. And like, it's just hard to see. But also, like, I can't deny the fact that like, I get nervous and walking around on those streets, and it's a huge long street, and there's different corners that are worse than others. And so we definitely walked by and through a couple of them, definitely not the worst parts, but yeah, that was one of the things that kind of made me a little bit anxious, like being in a city like that, because I think a week before we went there, there's a guy who did random stabbings in Vancouver, blocks away from where we were staying, and one person passed away, a couple of people got injured. And so, I don't know, I think the older I get, which I hate, is I'm a little bit more nervous to travel in bigger cities like that, because shit like that can happen to like anyone, you know? And I'm a 5'1" girl, I'm scared about everything, because people can just snatch me up and I can't do anything. But
I mean, you weren't concerned. You're never at all walking by yourself. I wasn't concerned at all. Like, fucking, I feel like I can take on most crackheads. And if somebody's going around stabbing people with a knife, like, I don't know, just be wary of it, I guess. Like,
yeah,
I don't know. We were in a city with over a million people. One person died in the last like few weeks of getting stabbed. So
true. Yeah,
our chances were pretty good.
But other than that, we stayed right downtown at the Fairmont, which was gorgeous. It was so nice. It was a luxury compared to the motel we were staying at. I felt so comfortable, although our hotel is haunted and I had a couple of scary haunted moments. Anyways, which Aaron doesn't believe, but whatever.
Well, I did have one while you were asleep one morning, but
yeah,
it's so not that I don't believe it. I just like,
you choose
I'm
not to care.
Scared of it. Like, what are they going to do? Hi, Mr. Ghost or Mrs. Ghost.
I know. The first day we got there, Aaron went out to like go get some water, go get alcohol or something. I was by myself getting ready and one of the lamps started flickering. And so I noticed it from the bathroom when I was getting ready. So I stepped out into our living room and it stopped. And then I went back into the room and it started. And then I walked back out and it stopped. So then I turned off the lamp because I was so freaked out. And then anyways, I turned it back on and you came back and it was fine. And then I thought there was one more other thing that happened.
The one I saw was like the closet was closed and it has motion sensor lights and it just randomly came on in the morning.
Yeah.
But
anyways, and then you played a prank on me. And actually, it wasn't even a prank at all. Like, you were checking to see who was in the bathroom or like if I was in there, and I didn't fully close the door. And so I was sitting there minding my own business and I thought the ghost was like opening the door on me, and I screamed.
Yeah, you screamed to the top of your lungs. Like,
I know, you hated that. Anyways, besides that, we had such like good food. Like, everywhere we went, I feel like we really enjoyed our meals. We had good coffee. We had an omakase experience at a Japanese. I mean, it's all Japanese, but an omakase experience, which is where it's like a catered meal for you from the chef who puts basically his all into making every aspect of each of the dishes. I think we had 12 courses.
Yeah, it was like 12 courses. Like, he made his own soy sauce.
He spent days fermenting things. Like, he was showing us all the tips and tricks of like how to eat them, like with your hands. And I don't know. It was so nice, but it was right in East Hastings, which made me kind of nervous. But that was definitely one of my favorite parts. And we got to see some of my old family friends, which was wonderful. And
we did Stanley Park. We did Granville Island. We did
Lynn Canyon.
Yeah, we went to a suspension bridge.
We went to Gastown, explored some time there. We went to the waterfront. We met up with one of your college friends.
Yeah,
well, I mean, my friend too.
Met up with Daniel. Maybe went to the Nino.
Oh yeah, we had a good Nino night.
We did have a great Nino night.
Yeah, that was really fun. But actually, maybe we'll talk about, we don't have to get into the details of what we fought about, but let's just talk about like couples fighting on vacation, because the older I've gotten, the more I've realized it's kind of like normal. Like, I used to think like, God, like we suck, but it's quite normal for couples to fight on vacation. And let's just talk about not the details of the fight, but like, I don't know. Like,
I literally don't remember.
Yeah, I mean, also, I will fully put my hands up. I was being a little cray cray and extra sensitive, and it was before my period had started. And
was this on the plane?
No, it was at the, I love that you've already forgotten about this, which is great. I don't mean to resurface it, but it was when we were at Nightingale for dinner and we were fighting about like whatever the trip or something with our friend. Anyways.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah.
And okay.
I remember now.
I was being sensitive. I was like assuming things. It upset you because then it upset me. Anyways, it turned into like a much bigger fight where like, you know, I think at that point you were like pissed off. You were like, I can't believe she's getting fucking mad about this. For me, I was like, I can't believe he's being so insensitive. And then, yeah, we ended up walking to the waterfront and like not talking, and then like had a bit more of a fight there. I bet you all the people on that cruise ship was just watching us being like, holy shit, this couple is going through it right now. And then you kind of had a little bit of a mental breakdown where you were like freaking out, and then I just had to separate myself, and then you came.
Well, I was having a mental breakdown because you weren't making any fucking sense.
And then I went and sat on a bench and waited for you, and then you called me when I had 2% left on my phone, and you were like, why? And then you got mad at me for never having my phone charged, because that's definitely one of my, yep. I'm not perfect. I don't really charge my phone ever, which I like, because I don't like my phone to take control of me in my life. But anyways, so we fought, and then on the plane we fought because I wanted to hold your hand, and you were like, I don't want to hold your hand in front of everybody.
No, you were pissed because I like skipped through your Instagram stories.
Oh, well, that, you know what, that does offend me. After all these years, if I do post something, I want you to watch it. But Aaron literally turned it on and goes, tap, 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 and I said,
yeah, there were stories of us in the airport and shit. I was like, I was there.
No,
I was there.
I was like, I don't know, in that moment, I was like, I'm so hurt by this. And then I was like, why'd you skip through my stories?
Anyway, I think this episode is long enough without us getting into couples fighting on vacations.
I know. But besides that, we had a great time. But I'm just, you know, I'm just saying, like, people think, maybe looking online, they were like, oh my God, they had the best trip. Like, look at them, blah, blah, blah. But also, the reality is couples fight. And sometimes it's about meaningless, stupid shit. And sometimes it's not. I don't know. But anyways, after our Vancouver trip, we did the straight drive back for like
10. Well, we went to we went from Vancouver to Whistler.
Yeah.
So we took the Sea to Sky Highway, which is also
that was so cool.
Super sick drive. We stopped at a waterfall. We had this plan to do like a 5-hour hike that's like supposed to be super, super cool. But
oh yeah, Johnson Canyon.
Yeah.
Or no, wait.
Yeah.
Is that what it's called?
No, no, no.
Shoot, that's in...
Fuck. It is called...
Oh, it's called something Lakes.
Yeah.
Three Lakes or something. I think it's called the Three Lakes hike. Basically, it's a huge hike where there's three crazy iconic lakes.
Joffrey?
Yes, Joffrey Lakes Park.
Joffrey Lakes Park.
It was closed.
Anyway, yeah, it was closed. Natives get it to themselves for a month, so it was closed for us.
The First Nations Indigenous.
First Nations Indigenous get it for a month. And then
so that was a really big bummer. Like that was the
it was
one
a bummer, but we ended up like having a nice day walking through Whistler and like checking out the village and like because that's where the Olympics were when they were, well, like all the ski stuff was for the Olympics when it was in Vancouver. So
yeah,
I thought that was pretty cool. Obviously wasn't the ideal situation, but we still saw a pretty cool lake. Then we did the drive in one shot back to Calgary.
Yeah.
Also, so we took a different route from Whistler. Like, we went north, and the first, like, 4 hours of the drive was different.
That one was kind of scary. Like,
yeah, it was a little, it was less, like, double lane highway the whole way, and more, I guess, single lane highway. And
on the side of
like,
a mountain.
Less guardrails. And anyway, I don't know. It was cool. Great views. Like, a lot of different terrain. Like, your dad was saying, we went from, like, mountain to desert. To
oh yeah,
what was it like? Mountain to plains to desert to mountains to flatlands or whatever, or prairie.
Yeah,
so that was quite cool. And then yeah, so the day we got back to Calgary from Vancouver, my buddies came in. So
oh yeah, that exact night they came in.
Yeah, so that night, so yeah,
we just like unpacked, we did laundry, and then you were gone basically for 3 days. Like, you guys went golfing, you went hiking, you went hiking in a blizzard.
Yeah, so we played a really cool golf course called Streak. So that was a good day. Then we did a hike called Tent Ridge, and if you look up Tent Ridge Alberta or Tent Ridge Banff, you see this beautiful, like, stunning views. And a big part of this hike is that you, like, the first 2 kilometers or whatever, you're climbing to the top of the mountain, and then you follow the ridge for 5 kilometers, so you just have sick panoramic views of the Rocky Mountains. We get...
Well, can you just say that this hike is, like, a rated, like, extremely difficult on all trails?
Yeah, it was, like... I mean, it seemed like the hardest hike I ever done.
It made me nervous for you. Like, I wasn't going to go on it because I knew that I'd be a full chicken.
You wouldn't have been able to do it.
No, I probably would have had a meltdown and had to go back, but...
Anyway, yeah, so we start the hike, and it had snowed the night before, and we're like, ah, fuck, like, that's not great. But, like, as we were driving in, it was sunny, and it was so beautiful. Like, the snow-capped mountains, it was sunny, it was shining, glistening, it was so cool. We saw a moose on the way in, like, a cool big moose, and then we start hiking, and it's so great. Like, the perfect temperature, like, I'm in shorts, I was in my t-shirt, we're climbing up, we're getting going, and we hit the point where, I don't know if it's called the ridgeline, but essentially where like life stops growing, so where you're like climbing actual rock mountains, and this cloud starts coming in and we're like, oh, okay, that's interesting.
What's going on?
So we meet up with this couple. They were going to do the hike, and the guy proposed to his girlfriend that day. Shout out you guys. But he was like, yeah, it's our first mountain, and it's getting a little icy up there, so, like, we're turning back. And so me and the boys all kind of look at each other, and we're like, yeah, I mean, you know, we're in good shape. We'll be fine.
You guys are like, we are fine.
We go up. We start hiking. Within, like, 10 minutes from that, a full-on blizzard came. Like, it went from no snow to, like, probably 2 feet of snow while we're climbing up, and you're scrambling up this, like, side of the mountain, and it's just, like, we were hiding behind, like, these random ledges just to get some cover for a bit so we could take a break to catch our breath. And
you said you, like, barely took breaks because it was, like, you guys were, like, we need to get out of this blizzard because it was that bad and, like, windy.
Yeah, it was probably, like, I don't know, minus 10, minus 12 up there. Like, it was a full, picture a full-on blizzard when you were expecting a nice sunny day hike. Anyway.
And the hike itself is extremely difficult on a beautiful day with no snow, no wind, but then you guys were doing it in that condition, and, like, you know, you never know what could have happened. Like, you're climbing the side of a mountain, and when you look one side, from what I hear, there's like just cliff. There's nothing. Yeah,
it was arguably the most dangerous thing I've done, but like, I don't know, Jeff was a pretty good tour guide. He had done it like a couple weeks prior in the good weather, so he at least had an idea of what we were doing, where we were going. But on top of all this, the whole outside of like 500 meters on the ridge, it was all just, we were in the middle of a blizzard, so we couldn't see more than 20 feet ahead of us, so we couldn't see any of the views. So it was all kind of for naught. But anyway, I have some
good memories.
Good memories. It'll be a story to tell for a lifetime. But it was, yeah, it was crazy. And then we went out that night, and it was just kind of like an old school going out night, which was like awesome to do with the boys. And then, as Lizzie alluded to earlier,
oh wait, before we talk about this X thing, can I just tell my story of like, I'm very anxious, okay? And after Aaron did the Via Ferrata in Switzerland with the same boys, minus Jeff, the same boys, I knew that they were up for something no good and no trouble, or like trouble. And so I knew that this hike was going to be 5 hours. I hadn't heard from Aaron, and I couldn't find him on my Find My Friends for 6 to 7 hours. So I started to get worried, and I didn't realize that they would lose service, like not even start at the start of the hike. It was like 45 minutes before, which totally makes sense now.
Yeah, so the hike, yeah, so Lizzie had a friggin' panic attack, essentially, and like I knew we weren't going to have service, so I just put my phone on airplane mode. But yeah, we lost service probably 45 minutes before the trailhead even started. And then we stopped. There was a, like I said, there was a cool moose. So we stopped to check out the moose for a while.
So all of this, of course, like I don't know, which is fine. But like, you know, I'm spending the day with my mom, like bonding, mother-daughter time. And I keep saying to my mom, I'm like, this is so weird that I haven't heard from him. Like, they should be done this hike by now. And then I was like, I'm going to give it one more hour. My mom's, maybe they stop somewhere to have a drink. I'm like, sure. Still nothing. So I'm starting to really panic. I'm like, somebody must have fallen off this fucking mountain. And I was like, Jasper or Jeff probably ran back to go get help. And you know, like I thought the worst, and I was actually having a little bit of a freak out. And my mom was like, Lizzie, you're being dramatic, don't worry. And I texted you, nothing landed through iMessage. I texted Jasper and it landed. I was like, oh shit, this means Aaron fell off the fucking mountain because his phone's dead or whatever. And I'm like making up scenarios in my head and being anxious. God, crazy. Was I relieved when you did message me back? And
yeah, I was like, what the fuck? Like, I just climbed a mountain in a blizzard in shorts, and this girl's freaking out. I was like, shut the,
I mean, for good reason. People have died on the mountain. Anyways, so I'm very happy you did it. All I know is we got to get life insurance if you want to keep doing hikes like that, is all I got to say.
Okay. Anyway, fast forward to that night, going out downtown, because we've never really been out in downtown Calgary before. So
no,
you were meeting up with some of your friends. The guys I went hiking with, one of them lives in Calgary, and he is mutual friends with Lizzie's ex from junior high or high school, I guess.
Yeah, so basically like our friend group in school, your best friend Jasper, his really close friend Jeff is the one that lives in Calgary, and he's really close with another guy who went to our same university that I went to elementary school or junior high with. And his best friend is also someone that I went to junior high. I'm getting these mixed up, junior high with. Anyways, I know all these, and I don't have really any exes in my past that I wouldn't go up to and say hi and have a conversation with and feel really comfortable around and like get weird about. But this particular guy, I don't know, we can name him, I don't know what to give his name, we can name him like Peter, okay?
Sure.
So like Peter Peter is someone whose virginity I took. Oh, there goes our little water filter. I took Peter's virginity. At the time, he had lied about it and saying that, no, he had lost it with somebody else. And I was like, okay, come to find out that it was all a lie. This was also the type of guy where anytime I liked him, he didn't like me. And when he liked me, I got the major egg. And this went on from junior high all the way into like our first year of high school. So this is lots of years of history. We never really dated. It was like puppy love. And like you'd say you dated, but you like didn't actually, because you didn't do anything other than like hold hands and kiss at school. But like looking back, I was very bad, and which is why I think I feel so shameful about the situation and weird, was like I was basically a bitch and I was like, don't talk to me again, I don't want anything to do with you, like this is too much, don't have me on socials, like blah 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 blah. So he had been with this girl for a long time. They recently broke up or something, but over the years of like going,
you're giving this guy's whole life story. Sir,
over the, nobody knows who this is unless you know. But
there's a few people here that listening to this that'll know.
So like looking like, okay, so then going back when I'm in college and like living here in Halifax and I've been dating you, like I've seen him at a couple parties and he's pulled me aside before and saying, hey, like we're all good, right? Like I have this girlfriend, blah blah blah, like you're with someone. I'm like, yeah, like things are great. So I just did not like the idea that you were at a barbecue with him being there, just for the sake of like, I just think it's weird. I don't think I have anything to hide. I don't think you have anything to hide. He doesn't have anything to hide. I just don't like the situation. And all my girlfriends agree. Okay, my sister agrees. Like all these situations, like it's just not ideal. But you handled it so well. So I was out for dinner with my girlfriends and you were like, haha, guess who I'm sitting next to? And I'm like, no way. And you were like, yeah, like...
Well, yeah. So, like, the rest of the boys...
like, everybody knows the situation.
Well, they all went on a ski trip together.
Oh, yeah.
Whatever, last year. And they were... So, like, I guess I got brought up or whatever. And then, so, they had that whole conversation. So, then, maybe 5 minutes after I got there, because I sat down right next to the guy. So, maybe 5 minutes after we got there, one of the people was like, oh, yeah. Like, you get, like, oh, I forgot about that. And then I forget what Peter said, but then I was like, yeah, well, hey, thanks, Peter. You walked so I could run. And then basically we just, yeah, then it just became a hangout with the boys.
Well, no, then you texted me. So I'm like, at dinner with my girls. I'm like, oh my God, he's sitting next to him. Like they said hi or whatever. And then you texted me saying, yeah, I told him our story. And I said, what story did you tell him? And you go, I told him our engagement story. So I was like, what? Why are you giving this man a whole...
Well, he asked, he was like, oh, yeah, so how long have you and Lindsay been together? And I was like, 7 years, and like, yeah, we're engaged. And then he was just asking questions, like, it was a conversation. I know.
But anyway, but like, there's really not much more to the story other than like, we ended up meeting up with you guys after, because I wanted to see like, the friends that I had in school too, that you were hanging out with, all the boys. But I just could not deal with like watching you dancing next to him in a full group, and you guys are all drunk, like having a blast, and you don't care, he don't care. And it's just, I don't know, it was one of those situations where like,
yeah, you were being weird as shit.
I was being weird as shit, and I'm like kind of embarrassed about it, but I don't even care because it was just a weird situation. But what I love is the fact that you did not give a fuck and you were so chill about it. You didn't get weird, you didn't get jealous, like there was nothing that could have happened, because it could have, like really, in other relationships and friends that I know, like
for a guy you dated in junior high, I would have to be a friggin' psychopath.
Well, yes, that's true, but like, yeah, you know. You saying it in that context is interesting, but you could have also like just said hi and like could have been the type of guy who just, you know, like didn't interact necessarily with him but with other people, or you
if
were
he was
very
a bad guy, but he's a normal guy.
I know, true, but like you weren't even, you know, I think maybe the problem is like sometimes I like for Aaron to be a little bit jealous and he never is jealous because he's so confident in himself. But like, you know, I've had boyfriends in the past, if they were in the same room with an ex, they were like holding on to me more, or like grabbing me, or like making it really known that we were together.
Again, if it was your ex of like a year ago, maybe I'd be more like that.
True. I was a kid.
It's been like over 10 years.
Well, it is true. But all I have to say about this is that all of my girlfriends and people maybe not in such, not necessarily not good relationships, but they were like, oh my God, like, Aaron is the best, like this is what I need all men to be like. All the anyways, I thought you were great. I was so impressed and I fell more in love with you, but I don't know, I can't get that image out of my mind of you guys dancing in the same room, and I'm just so traumatized. Anyway,
yeah, then played some more golf, hung
Aaron's
out with the boys.
Like, Aaron's like, I'm over this conversation. I have nothing more to add.
Then they flew home, and then yeah, just spent the rest of the last week. We were there with your family. We were working, so that wasn't great. We hit Spalumbo's, which is like my favorite spot in Calgary.
Oh my God, can we talk about how every time we go home, you gain weight? I just think this is funny. I'm not doing any type of shaming, because I also gain weight too, but my dad's love language is food and alcohol, and you are his victim.
I wouldn't say I'm a victim.
You like it?
I mean, I don't mind. I like it for when I'm there.
Yeah.
But, you know, if I obviously lived like that every day, I'd be gigantic.
Yeah, I mean, we were very much spoiled. But, like, you weren't saying no to my dad for anything. He'd be like, eat this. You're like, okay. He's like, drink this. Okay. Like, anytime you said anything, you were just like...
I was on vacation.
You were having so much fun. But how did you find, like, spending that time with my parents? Because I feel like you've never spent, like, that much time before with them. Like, it's always been
I disagree with that. Yeah? I've spent 2 weeks with your parents.
Oh, true. I guess 3 weeks isn't actually 3 weeks because we were in Vancouver. But also, for whatever reason, like, I love having you there because you're a great buffer for me... like just with my parents.
I think having someone not like specifically from the family with all of the background trauma and all that stuff, it kind of keeps the peace a little bit.
Yeah, one, you're a great mediator, and also people love you on like their own accord. Like you have, I feel like you have a special relationship with like each of the people in my family, like my brother, my sister, and both my parents. So they love you, and they're always like, sometimes I like to believe that they like you more than they like me, but
and I love them.
But I feel like you're so good with my parents, like even their own special quirks, and like, you know, who, like all parents are different, but sometimes they're a little bit more strong-minded than others, but you're so good. And this trip really made me realize that you are my rock. You kept me sane, because usually when I go home by myself, I'm crying every other day, calling you, having a panic attack, not knowing what to do with myself. I need to go to therapy.
I know.
Yeah, and I didn't really do that this trip. I was like really happy basically the whole time.
Yeah, there really wasn't any like, I don't know, breakout cry sessions or
like anything. Anxious Lizzie, like.
No, it was all kind of hunky-dory. It was good.
Yeah, and I only had one fight with my mom. And like that's like a record.
And it wasn't even that big of a fight.
No, and it wasn't even that big of a fight. We had a lot of good quality time together. And I don't know, just the older your parents get, I feel like you start to value their relationships, like your relationship with them, a lot differently. And I love that you get to spend more time with them too. And yeah, we'll just always continue to prioritize visiting my family. So we might go back out in February, but I had a wonderful time. And even at the end, the only time I cried was like saying I didn't want to leave because I was having so much fun.
Which is a great reason.
Yeah, but I'm also really happy to be back because I love our home.
Oh, it was nice. And it was definitely nice to get back. And we had a day off from work when we got back. So that was...
extra special.
Extra special.
Yeah. Okay, anything else you want to talk about from our trip out west?
Vancouver trip was awesome. I'm glad we got to do that drive. The weather was good for the most part outside of that hike. You know, I only see those boys once a year. Now, or we only hang out as a group once a year now, so always obviously love that time with them, and the more time I can spend with your family, the better, and especially if it's good vibes all around. And yeah, I don't know, everyone was in good spirits. It was a great trip.
Yeah. Okay, well, I guess that's it. I hope you guys enjoyed our little chit-chatty episode. I promise that our next ones will be a little bit more focused to what we've kind of set out this podcast to be, but we figured it would feel wrong for us to jump back with a random episode that was a little bit more planned out if we didn't give a good life update. Aaron, do you want to close us out? For he's yawning, he's hungry, it's like 7 o'clock the night before we have to post.
Yeah, I had to work late today. Anyway, okay, let's see if I remember how to do this. First off, I just want to thank everyone for listening. And if you'd like to, what am I trying to say here? Thanks everyone for listening. And if you want to follow us on social media, we are at Beyond the Filters Podcast on Instagram. You can get this podcast at Beyond the Filters Podcast anywhere you listen to podcasts, Apple, Spotify. I don't know what else there is, but if you use something else, it's probably on there. And yeah, I think we still have the question thing open, so
we'll get to those next week.
We'll get to some of those next week. Submit questions if you have any questions for us. And yeah, I don't know. I think that's it.
That's it. Thank you guys so much for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Yeah, good to be back.
Woo! Woohoo! See ya!